Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to All About Guitar with Jeff Lolo, only on LA Talk Radio.
Amazing instrument. It has developed into an incredible voice in today's music. So many types of guitars, so many styles of playing, all sorts of gear. How does one make their voice be heard as a guitarist? My name is Jeff Floro and welcome to All About Guitar, where we talk tone, we talk technique, we talk gear. Where we discover how we can become better musicians in a world of constantly changing technologies. Where we take a good look at everything guitar. And sometimes not exactly guitar, but just as important. So we can be more successful as a musician in today's music scene. So sit back and relax, and let's explore All About Guitar. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to All About Guitar. We have a great show for you tonight. My guest just literally a few days ago just flew in from his European tour, so you look pretty good for jet lag, I have to admit. But a great friend, great guitar player, and he's been on several times on his talking about his own stuff, but also coming in and demoing guitars and terrain gear. I just want to welcome back Steve Pfister.
Thank you so much, Jeff. Hey now.
Hey now.
It's great to be here. Just flew in, and boy, are my arms tired.
Ba-dum-bum.
Yeah, you knew that was coming.
So anyway, we got a lot to talk about. There's some really interesting things besides the tour. And this guitar, which we've seen before, mm-hmm. when we've had DAG Universum on the guitar on the show, this is the Steve Pfister model, and we're going to talk about some of. Now this guitar has been truly road tested. He's taken it all over Europe, and I think we'll see if these are the final pickups that'll be in there. And we're going to talk a little bit about that in a minute, and also this new album called Let It Slide. And I was going through this weekend, and some of the cuts are amazing. It's great Steve Pfister tone all through the thing, and great licks and stuff. So it's really, and we're going to play some of those clips. Let me start out first with, I'm going to play a, let's see, which one should I do? I'm going to play No One Left to Blame. There's the lead in this, and this is from this new album. And now, if I'm correct, this is a studio cut. There's some stuff that you did live in the studio, and there's some stuff. So No One Left to Blame.
No One Left to Blame is a studio track.
Okay.
And, yeah.
All right, so I'm going to play that, and then we'll talk about what you're using.
Excellent.
But it kind of gives you it's a cool lead, and I think you guys will like this. Here we go.
Thank you.
Thank you and good night. Actually, that was the cut I was going to take us out on, but that's okay. So let's talk a little bit about that. So which guitar are you using?
For the primary rhythms on that guitar. Now think about that track is when you were just playing it, and I totally forgot, but that was capoed to the second fret. So I used a capo on the basic tracks, and it just made that kind of riff it just gave it a whole another dimension by just using the capo. And that was my Les Paul. It was a Les Paul through a Marshall, and it was just
for the rhythm.
For the rhythms and for the solo, I used it was my 1966 345.
That the tone one. Is the die for.
It's just and we used a lot of ambience to get the big drum sound and stuff, and just used a lot of room and got lucky with the
tone. That was your Marshall.
Yeah,
that was your Marshall.
Yeah,
yeah, it's a great sound. I mean, in the whole album, the tone is that's just a snippet of some of the tone that he's getting on there. Okay, so now that we listened to the studio album, I'm going to throw a curveball at you and talk a little bit now, realizing these cuts and stuff, what you were using a whole different setup for Europe, right?
For Europe, yeah, this time we decided to really, really throw caution to the wind as far as the gear went. You know, we used the SVT for the bass. Mm-hmm. Normally we would use different things. For my guitar sound, when last time we were over, a few years back, we did a Joe Satriani tour. We were special guests. And Framus was launching a new amp line. And they were kind enough to, you know, lend me some amps permanently. And I used them, same amps on this tour. And what it consisted of is a 120-watt tube head, EL 34s, kind of like an overbuilt Marshall with three channels, tons of knobs, effects loop, and the cabinet was your basic 4x12 with the old school vintage 30s. Mm. And that's what we used on this tour, and it was just a thing, you know, for convenience and stuff, we were scaling our gear down, but for this last run, we went big, and just went big, and I'll tell you, it just felt so good. On the stage.
Now, what guitars did you bring? The Godins and the DAG?
Yeah, I used all the Godin guitars. I brought a Montreal Premier, which is a semi-hollow body, and just a beastly instrument. Sounds great. And a Summit for all the slide playing. Because we do two, three slide songs per show, at least, plus encore. So I used most of that for the
There's
open
a lot
tunes,
of slide on this new album, too. Hence the title.
let her slide. Come on.
And then you had the Summit, the Montreal, and then this guitar?
And my signature model here from DAG. And, you know, this was really the road test for the whole thing, because basically the trio sound is kind of built around my hollow body sound, you know, over the years with the 335s and you know, through a Marshall. And we drive the top of the instrument and just let it breathe and control it, you know. And this guitar gave me the best of both worlds. It's still semi-hollow. It's got a block down the center, and there's two wings on the side that are hollow. Mm-hmm. And we experimented with pickups, and we did a couple of things. And with the Duesberg tremolo, it just kind of gave me everything in a small package, a smaller package, that incidentally flies really well. You know, I'd put it in a gig bag and bring it with me on the plane, and it survived everything.
What about the other guitars? Did you have to ship those?
One went underneath. I got a nice road case for the hollow body, and absolutely no problems. I must say, we had no baggage problems on this run. Nothing. Everything showed up intact and pretty close to in tune. Mm-hmm. You know, no airline horror story on this run. Thank God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, this is great. Now, what pickups do you have on here now?
Well, we were experimenting around, and what we finally settled on was both Seymour Duncan, of course. Mm-hmm. The bridge pickup is a Saturday Night Special. And my understanding was that it's just like a little juicier PAF. Just gives you a little bit more range. Not too much more output. It's not a particularly loud pickup. And it works really great, and... in combination with the 59, in the neck. So it gives you a lot of in-between sounds. You get some really radically different sounds from each pickup. Like here's the neck, and then in the center, and then you can get a lot of variance just out of...
Mm-hmm. They sound great. You know. The tone's great. Now, we've talked before in past shows about when you were using your IS-335, that trapeze tailpiece was a part of that sound. You liked it better than the stop. And I remember with some of the Godins, you right. put the Bigsby on it because it was similar. It had a similar feel. Now, how do you feel about this Duesberg tremolo as opposed to the Bigsby? Does it do it more or less, or is it about the same? Or because you're using tremolo more for that. If I'm correct, you tend to just bend and go crazy normally without the tremolo.
I got used to no trem, but this Duesenberg tremolo, super well made. What a great idea! I mean, it retrofits. You could still have, make it into a stop tailpiece. If you wanted to.
Yeah, it just fits over the bolts where the stop is.
And as long as the nut is cut correctly, a little nut love, and the bridge, lube it up every time, and tuning problems have been really minimal, you know, and I'm using relatively light strings.
But does it give you that trapeze feel, or is it more or less?
More or less, it does. It does. I can get all the feedback points, you know, like on the 335, how we... Would do that. You could pretty much, because the guitar sings, it's very lively. This instrument is very, very lively. There's no dead spots on this guitar.
Now, I looked up the Grace, the DAG Grace, and so you have a flame maple top. I love that finish. Mm. That finish is just to die for. And then it's the body, the back and sides are Sapel.
Okay.
And the neck is a five-piece, both maple and Sapel. The five the laminated pieces, and then the fretboards, Wenge, which is it's similar in from what I understand, it's more like it feels like an ebony type board. It's a little harder than rosewood.
It's pretty dense, yeah. And that's one thing. Mm-hmm. Even with the Duesenberg tremolo, the notes really do fly off this guitar. It's really quick. There's absolutely no sag. You know, you'd think, you know, you get a little more spongy feel with the tremolo. With the way the neck is constructed, the notes just fly off. It's been really great. And the cool thing about this guitar, and one other thing, is the neck adjustment tool.
Oh, yeah, right? It screws into the body.
So it screws right here. But I'll tell you what, through really radical climate shifts, I didn't have to touch it.
It was pretty stable.
It was stable the whole time. All I did was restring. Lube it up and let it rip.
So give us go ahead and play some and show some of the tone that you can get out of this thing.
So we're pretty much set up with kind of a distorted sound. So I'm a big volume control guy. So if we're playing, and I do that on the. It'll sing.
He's getting a lot of sustain, and he's not cranked out.
You know? Go right to the middle and go.
Got a nice tone, but the sustain, and he's not now. There's a little box that's sitting up there. That's my the Solo Dallas. It's the flame. I'm spacing now. What's the name of it?
Let's get a picture of this. Incidentally, Filippo, I need one of these. I got to get one.
Yes, Filippo, thank you. This is a great. It says it on the back. I think it's the flame.
The Storm.
The Storm, Don. I'm sorry for spacing. Senior moment. But anyway, this gain stage, we're using that a little bit, but he's actually dialed it down, so he's using it when you go ahead and crank it. Because the sustain, he's sustaining right now at a moderate volume. He's not really pushing the amp.
So this is without. Okay. So it's kind of a sustaining kind of a sound.
And it's roadworthy, as you can see. Just leave it next to his foot so he can
see. Yeah, you can leave it down. That's fine. We'll just pretend we're on the road and something happens. It's all right. And so it's a nice sound without it. But you want that little extra push over the hill. Yeah. It kind of stays right in there, huh?
Well, it's really stable and it's consistent. The tone is consistent.
Same thing.
So this tour, this was the main axe that you were using
for
for the straight guitar stuff.
For straight guitar stuff, this was it. And you know, I do a lot of the amplifier is such a beast. I wound up just using the dirty channel and just dialing the gain way back and using my volume control on this guitar a lot. So it was really
what was the model of that?
It's called the Dragon, and it's just 120 watts of, you know.
Now, how does it compare? When you play out here a lot, you use your PVs. Hmm. How does the tone compare to that?
I would say the Framus amp, definitely. The difference between...
and your Marshall. Might as well compare all three of them.
There's nothing like the EL34 British sound for me. That just does it. And the PV amps are, you know, really sound good. They're the mid-90s, early 90s, classic 50s. They're made in the U.S., and they just sound great. What are the tubes? I'm speaking of a senior moment.
I think your classic is the ELs. There's ELs in it. I think that's what you mentioned.
EL84s, right? The small tubes. They're like the Class A tubes.
Yeah.
And there's a real tonal difference in the low end. But the Framus is more like
How does it compare to your classic 100? Because you use that too. When I saw you at the baked potato, you were using.
Yeah, that has the same sort of characteristic. It just has a little bit more headroom because of that extra 50 watts, and it just seems to drive the cabinet a little bit.
But is the main like the preamp circuit the same, or is it brighter? Is it darker? Is it?
I'd say they're pretty similar. The thing is, just the power amp has a little bit more headroom.
Yeah.
So you have a little bit more variance. The 50s, I wind them up pretty good. You know, I'm running them pretty loud. So they were using them pretty much 80-90%, whereas you got the 100 watt, you know.
Yeah.
I'm running it way down.
So, and you were using one 4x12 with it, right?
Correct. Yeah.
So you were pushing it. But pretty well, that's a powerful amp.
And we used it in such a way that, you know, we try to make the Trio never be too loud, regardless. We have a really good front house engineer, and we'd always sound check, and I'd say, how were we respectively volume wise, and nothing too abrasive, nothing too loud, and just powerful. We don't want to hurt people's ears. We just want to make them feel good.
Yeah, you get pretty, but you get that tone at a. It's not ear bleeding volume to get that tone. Your tone's really controlled.
Thanks.
And, but now there's something else I want to ask you about because we were talking about this before the show, and again he was trying a lot of new stuff. So this tour was significant in a lot of ways with the newer guitar, and I think you condensed your pedal board down to make it smaller.
I did.
But also, you were using this new miking system for speakers. Tell us about that.
Well, right before the tour, I got involved with Integral. And it's a system designed and made by Richard Smith out of London. And what it is it's a microphone that fits on the front of your speaker. So you take the speaker out of the cabinet and this has the same bolt pattern. And what it is a microphone. And it goes between the grill cloth and the speaker. So the microphone never moves. You know how you're always trying to find the sweet spot and you're on a noisy stage, say the stage is hollow or you know.
Is it fully adjustable so once you can tweak it and then leave it?
It's left in place. And it's shaped like a...
But I mean, does it... It's just fixed?
It's fixed position, off-center, not directly in the cone, off-center. Kind of where you would place a 57. You know how you put the tape marks on your cabinet, you know, make sure the front house guy, you know, has it just right there. And again, we started using it, and Richard was cool enough. He fit both the bass player cabinet and my cabinet with the system, so we both used it on the road. And the advantages were really something. No mic stands on the stage in front of the cabinets. You know, no extra, vibration from, ambient drum noises or anything. It really helped clean up. You still get the speaker sound, obviously. And it just made the stage clean. And our front house guy just loved it. In the beginning, he was going, okay, we're setting up two mics. You know, he wanted to make sure, you know. And then 3 gigs in, he was just using the Integral the whole time for the guitar sound. Mm-hmm. And it stayed consistent and kept it really, really, kept the stage clean, kept everybody happy.
Now, what was the band? Who were the other players? Philip and Sandy?
Sandro Feliciano on drums. And on this tour, we had Berent Coubois on bass.
Okay.
Yeah, from Holland.
Okay, so he... he just played directly through the SVT, or did he use anything?
He used, let's see, on some of the dates we used the SVT, but a lot of times he uses DV Mark stuff, or the Mark bass stuff. They don't call it DV, it's just Mark bass.
And the DV is the guitar line.
Right. And he just had really great stuff. Instead of, that way we got the speaker sound from the bass gear, and we got the direct sound as well. So we had two lines out and gave the sound man total flexibility. So it was a really smart system.
Yeah. No, that sounds good with that that speaker system. And is it just for 12s or can you get it for other, like 15s? Does he make them for different?
He makes them for 10-inch speakers and for 12s. And I'm here told that he's got some other things in mind, you know, for some different speaker sizes. But, you know, 10 and 12s pretty much gets it done.
Okay, so you pretty much, when you got there, you were using the Framus for everything. You just took it with you around Europe?
That was it, yeah. Two heads and one cabinet. That was it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then so he took the SVT or mostly the Mark?
The Mark stuff, yeah, yeah.
Because that's smaller.
A little bit smaller, and, you know, the crew was, you know, sometimes the setups were really fast and, you know, we're not at this stage of the game. We're not in ears. So we're all using wedges, and, you know, we have to sound check every night. And we just have our front house guy. So it really made a difference, you know, with gear-wise. I mean, play to the sound of the drums and keep a very moderate, not too demanding monitor mix. It worked out real well.
So in terms of you and your amp settings and stuff, pretty much – from room to room, because you're playing a lot of different places in a lot of different countries, more or less. So is there much, are the rooms pretty consistent, or is it a big change?
The only thing I really changed from night to night was, presence and treble.
Okay.
That's pretty much it. And it just depended on how it sounded to me. I really tried to keep the guitar out of the wedge as much as possible. And what we did was, even with the 4x12, is elevated it. Never kept it on the stage. Always tried to isolate it from the stage. And we'd put it up on we had an anvil case, about a foot tall, and pointed right at my butt. And and it just gave me a little bit more consistency, you know.
What about the bass amp? Did you guys isolate the bass amp cabinet from the floor?
No. Kept on the floor. Okay. And come to think of it, maybe we probably should have in some of the cases. But
I mean, in studio work, I've lifted it up and it tightens it up a little bit. If you're going to mic it, it does give you a tighter sound. But that's pretty cool. It sounds like it. Well, with the trio and the way you're using that, you were able to get a good sound on stage, and then the rest of it was easy.
That's pretty much the way we like to do it. We don't like to manufacture the sound in the house. We like to give it to them and let them reproduce it.
Now, what did you do to your modification to your pedal board? What was the big thing? I know you had to make it smaller.
I know. You know, and I'll tell you, with the way the airlines and the way fly gigs are these days, which technically these were all fly gigs, you know, for us here. I hate to say it, would have to make it a little smaller than it was.
Really?
Yeah. You know, what I do is I would bring, the only thing I really changed out this time was I have an ancient rat pedal that I found in my storage, and I haven't used it in many, many years, but I put that, I use a generic TS-9 for most of the overdrives.
Right.
And I brought the ancient rat pedal for the distortion, you know, the distorted thing, you know. And that's the one thing that I think I changed out. And I didn't use the octave pedal this time. I just had two delays.
You had another distortion pedal that you used to use. It was kind of a custom one.
It was based off of an Ampeg Scrambler pedal. Which, you know, I was thinking about that. I got to bring that back.
That was a great sounding pedal.
I love that pedal. I'm gonna.
I'm making your pedal board bigger, but
and here we're trying to make it smaller, and I'm going, oh man, I want that sound, you know. But and my CE2 chorus, which you know, I'll adjust that on the fly sometimes, you know. But just really, really basic stuff, you know. Just using the pickups, the volume control, and that was 80% of the tone.
No, that sounds that's well. Let's listen to another piece here. This is "I Will Not Fall Down." There's a lot in here. You're doing like a volume pedal thing. I presume you're using your volume control.
Just volume control on the guitar.
Okay, so let me. I will not fall down. Here you go. Take a listen to this. This is the tone. And which guitar was this? Which guitar are you using? This is a studio session, so.
Studio session, and it was primarily, we did these tracks for a video project, and they all came out, you know, really nice. So we remixed and decided to put it on the record. But the guitar was the Montreal premiere.
Okay, so this is the
Godin. Yeah.
All right, take a listen. I played all of that because there's a lot of stuff that he's doing. Now, that was live or was that overdub?
That was live.
There was a overdub, impromptu overdub. He was playing noodling while we were listening, which is cool. But it was what was interesting about it is all the different things you were doing. So you heard the chorus pedal.
Right.
You heard the wah. Which wah do you use?
I have the little micro Dunlop.
The little guy.
The little guy, which takes a little bit of, I don't have the biggest feet in the world, but you have to kind of position your foot correctly to get the right sweep.
Mm-hmm.
And rather than, this goes along with scaling the pedal board down, you know.
Yeah, and make it, it's a very
tiny thing, yeah.
No pun intended, very small footprint. It is, it's just a tiny little guy. But it, no, that tone is just great.
It the pedal works really well. I was a little skeptical, but I got one and, you know, just to scale down and just fell in love with it. I think it sounds great.
Now, the, and that was that Godin just sounded really, really, really nice.
That's the one with the trapeze tailpiece as well.
Yeah. Now, the, what amp were you using on this one?
That's strictly classic 50. PV.
That's the PV.
That's the PV sound.
Okay, yeah. That thing just, I love the tone of that thing.
It was just, you know.
Is that the cap, the combo, or is that the 50?
That was strictly combo. Four tens.
With the 410s.
Yeah.
That's a great sound. Yeah. He had brought that in the first show that we did. He brought that in. That's a great sounding app. And
that's the EL84s.
That's 50 watt. It would be. At least two of them, I think. It's two.
Four EL.
I thought the 100 watts were the four.
Oh, it has eight. It has eight. Lots of takes.
So your Framus must have had 10.
Those were EL34s, and it was only four of the main power tubes and a whole bunch of 12AX7s. And for the life of me, I didn't want to get in the back of it. It sounded good. I didn't
only
want to mess
four
with it.
And it got 120?
120 watts.
It must be doing, I don't know. That,
I don't know
that,
either.
Yeah, it's like I thought you had to have more tubes, but that's interesting.
Yeah, that's it.
So, okay, I'm going to play another one real quick, and then this is the title song, Let It Slide, and this is the slide lead. So set this one up. And also I want to ask you, in the background there's like a sweeping filter sound. How did you do that?
That's my debut of playing keyboards.
Oh, that's a keyboard. Very cool. Very cool. I'm like, how did he do that on the guitar? I'm trying to figure that out. But let me play the clip, and then we'll talk a little bit about what you did here. Because this one is using it's a classic slide sound. It's very nice.
Oh, cool.
So here you go.
Nobody told me. Nobody showed me.
Now, that was the Montreal?
On the basic track on this, the slide lead?
The slide lead. What was the slide lead?
That was my ancient 1961 Melody Maker Gibson.
Wow.
With these, you know, I've had this guitar for so long, and the pickups have been changed out so many times over the years, and I've had to retire it from the road because it, you look at it and it's about to fall apart. And that it just has this resonance for the low slide stuff, you know, to get the low notes to really speak correctly, and it just fit in the track so well. So it was something I pulled out of the closet that I haven't used in years.
What amp were you using there?
That's a Marshall.
Okay,
that's the 50 watt, and it's a 1979.
That's an interesting year.
And a little bit of Tube Screamer, as I recall, just to give a little bit of the gain, as I recall, was 9 o'clock. Very, very mm-hmm. little, very little.
Now, when you were touring live, mm-hmm. you're using the Summit?
For slide, yeah.
And then what are you using? Using which one do you have? You have the Tube Screamer on your board, right? So
right.
You're still using the Tube Screamer.
Yeah, the old TS-9.
So when would you use the Rat?
The Rat was when I wanted that extra push over the hill. And sometimes I would just use the Rat. And one thing I liked about the Rat is the filtering on the pedal really, really gave me some different feels for mm-hmm. different solos. So like if I was playing like something on the 12th fret, something up higher mm-hmm. up the neck, and I'd use the neck pickup, and kick the rad on with nothing else. It would just give this real crazy sort of compression that, you know, made the guitar do all sorts of, you get all sorts of crazy little overtones and stuff. And depending on which pickup I was using and what position, that pedal really reacted. It made me do different things, you know, rather than the standard TS-9. So I just used it as a little bit of a variable, you know, that I could just do something different with.
Yeah, it's a little edgier, I think, than
definitely.
The TS-9.
Definitely.
So, no, that's true. That's pretty. Now, with the integral microphones, do you have those on your cabinets here?
I have it on one of the Classic 50s. So we're going to do a baked potato gig next month, which you got to come down if you're free.
What, do you know what date it is?
Oh, geez, I should really know this stuff. But it's
we might as well advertise it.
Yeah. Here, I'll look it up while we're talking.
Well, let me play another clip. Let's see. What did I did I play Funny About the Money? I didn't play that yet. Because I love this bass sound. Now, this is Philip on this track, right?
Yes.
Now, listen to this. The growl on this is really cool. But this is this is another slide lead. And is this the Melody Maker?
This one is the Godin Summit.
Okay, so here's the Summit. Yeah. Take a listen while he looks up the date at the baked potato.
I should know this, right?
Yeah. That's okay. You just flew in. You're still in German time. It's okay. Here we go. Funny About the Money.
Philip.
Now, I love that sound. I mean, what you're doing there, is that, what distortion device is that? Is that the Rat?
That's TS-9.
That's the TS-9.
That's the TS-9.
That's just killing.
Well, with the open tunings, and that's an open E tuning. And you really can make use of those open strings, you know, with the slide on that. And that break is, this is why Philip is so musical. You know, it's like we're having a conversation. I'll play a line. He answers the line. I play a line. He answers the line, you know, and yeah, it's rock and roll and it's loud and it's aggressive and the whole thing, but that's what this whole thing is about. It's about having that conversation.
Well, what was he using? Now this was done live in the studio.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay. So he's using an amp, right? Or was he using the Helix?
He was using his Helix with one of his presets. And when we went to mix, there it was. You know, it's a huge sound, but Sandra was just so rock solid. I mean, he just holds the ship down while we're having this conversation.
Yeah.
You know, music.
But I mean, his what bass was he using?
He's using the Music Man. I think it's a bongo bass. Is that what they call it?
Yeah, it's huge. Was it five string or six string?
I think it's six. I lose count after four.
Right.
You know, but Philip is playing a six string. And I'll tell you what, it's just, you know, he always plays the right thing. Always plays the right thing.
Yeah.
It makes my job super easy.
So he was just going direct, or was he using an amp?
He was going direct, and we were all on headphones.
All on headphones. You
know? And we had the Classic 50 isolated. And the vocal was live as well. Everything was live.
Yeah.
And
no, it sounded good. And I just want to let you guys know, a while back, Steve and that exact same group of musicians, that band, played at the Alva showroom. And if you go on the All About Guitar Facebook page, you got to scroll down because it's been a while. But it's there's some videos. I did some Facebook Live, one set or most of the set, and you can hear the DAG guitar besides the Godin guitars. You can see what he's using, but I interviewed each of them so you can see the setup the pedals, the amps, and you got to check out Philip's setup. It's really, he gets some amazing tones out of that little Helix.
Yes, he does.
And then he also had the regular bass, and then he has that little mini bass.
The little Kayla bass.
That thing is so cool, and he was using that a lot on your set.
You know, we do a lot of things for the you know, the slide tunings and the open tunings. You know, we try to represent some of the electroacoustic songs.
Mm-hmm.
We did a record about 2 years ago now, all acoustic instruments, and live, of course, we give them a little bit more of an electric treatment, and the Kayla bass just simulates the upright so well in a live situation. So yeah.
And he's great. And Philip's not a tiny guy. So he's this huge guy with this midget bass, and it's really funny. But also too, when you played at the Alva for the electroacoustic album, if I'm correct.
Yeah.
That was featured. You used an acoustic guitar that you slide on. It was a Godin? And it had a big a humbucker on it or something.
That was it's a Dobro. That I had.
Oh,
modified.
Dobro. That's right. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I had my Dobro modified, and what we did is we had a Johnny Smith pickup.
That's what
Gibson
it was.
Johnny Smith pickups.
Okay.
And not because the Johnny Smith pickup is the greatest pickup in the world. It's just because it fit. It fit in the little space, you know, on a steel body guitar. And between that and we had a piezo in the resonator itself, and I mixed the two. There's no tone controls. I just mixed the two and run it through a clean sound on the amp. And off you go. You know, I can get the slide stuff, and I can get all that resonance from
you were getting some really – it sounded like a Dobro sometimes, but then you could crank it up and really go.
You hit a little TS-9, and next thing you know, it sounds more like an electric guitar.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's kind of crazy. Fun. So,
but do you use that now live as much, or do you end up just doing most of it on the Summit?
I do most of it on the Summit, and mostly that on the gigs these days. I would love to bring the five guitars, but, you know, economically and space-wise and things and airlines, you know.
No, that's true.
I can get by.
But
I
that
can get
Dobro,
by
was it, what was it? What was the brand? It's not a National. It's a Johnson or something?
It's a Johnson. Thanks for remembering. I was trying to remember the name of this thing, and it's a no-name knockoff that.
But it has that sound. It's really funky.
It
and
does.
It really, really, it really works. But
I've compared it to $2,000, $3,000 Dobros, and I'll tell you what, maybe it doesn't sound as good as the $2,000 Dobro, but it also, you know, if you tack another $1,000 on it, you know, it's subjective. So I'm really happy with it.
Well, what you were doing with the pickup is kind of unique, and it sounded really good with the two setups, with the piezo and the the other. It got a great sound, and that's in a very interesting, you know, you're getting very cool tonality out of that. The what else I wanted to ask you a little bit about, I'll play another clip in a minute, but what I wanted to ask you too is some interesting, the tour in terms of, where did you guys play?
We started off in the Netherlands, and we did 3 dates in the Netherlands, and then we went to Germany. And we wound up in Belgium.
Oh, wow.
And then from Belgium, we went back to Germany and finished up in the Netherlands. So there was an Austria date as well in there. You know, we had one date. So we did 4 countries, technically. You know, we were all over the place.
Now, the Framus was all set up for 220. Mm-hmm. How did you deal with the voltage difference for, like, your pedal board?
And the talk box that was.
Oh, you had the talk box too. That's right.
Which is a kind of a fun little effect to do, you know, because you still have to play. You know, you still have to play it to manipulate the sounds. But we had a step down voltage converter that I keep over there with the Framus amplifiers, and I just take a little American power strip, plug both things into that, and then that goes into the step down converter. So. Luckily, nothing fried. And
so you bring your own converter?
Actually, I have one there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so there's, you know, try to keep it as simple as possible.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool that you're able to have the stuff, you're able to keep stuff on the other, across the pond.
I've been very lucky, particularly with the Framus stuff. And the last couple of years, I had not used it on the tours. But this year, we said, okay, let's bust out you know, the big stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
No, it was fun.
But that's cool. You got to open up those ants because your tone really demands it. Though you get it at lower volumes, but yeah. I mean, look at with this little amp, you're still getting some amazing sound.
Oh, thanks.
It's always nice to hear it.
It was a blast to have that 4x12. You know, we scale down with everything these days, and when you got a 4x12, you know, blowing at your back, there's nothing like it. You get a physical sensation. Ooh, baby.
Yeah.
And it just makes the guitar come alive.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other thing too is with these guitars that you were using, mm-hmm. I know that like in your original Live Bullets, you were using the 335, and that guitar you got a lot of controlled feedback out of it.
Right.
Now, is it harder on these other guitars now? Because some of the guitars are not so, I mean, this guitar is semi-hollow, but it's not as big as, you know, like a 335 body. So
right.
It's not moving as much technically. But, I mean, are you having more difficulty, or is this the sustain and feedback easy to get?
The sustain and the feedback is easy to get with this particular instrument. But it's a more focused tone.
Mm-hmm.
Things are a little bit more, I would say, upper mid-range,
mm-hmm.
you know, than that real, than the Live Bullet sound.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I love that sound. And I'm pretty darn close, but, you know, in the interest of reinvention and playing new things and, you know, not being tied to the same thing, you know, this guitar has worked out so well. You know, I could still get all of the crazy sustain and color it a little bit differently. And, you know, one thing that I never did in the past was use both pickups at once. I just, that sound never really, really moved me that much.
Mm-hmm.
But on this instrument, I'm finding a lot of really nice sounds just in the middle, you know,
mm-hmm.
nice things, expressive things with the tremolo. So,
and you're using the tremolo more.
Definitely.
Now, yeah. the slide guitar and the Montreal are both fixed bridge, right? The the trapeze bridge on the Montreal and the Summit just has a stop?
Has a stop on there, yeah.
Okay.
And what I do is, depending on the set list, I usually start with an open E tuning, and we have a song that's in F, one that's in G, and I'll just be capoing. And I use this capo that actually works with the radius of the Godin guitars really well.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, for the life of me now, I can't remember the name of it, but it's a great thing.
It's not a Thalia.
It's a Thalia. Thanks. Yeah. Jeez, Jeff. What
am
I going to do without you?
Or what?
What
no.
am I going to do without you? But I would leave it right on the nut, and then I would just move it, you know, so that I,
right.
And therefore, you know, without having to change guitars and in interest of keeping the show moving and that kind of stuff. So Thalia worked out really great.
No, that's cool.
Thanks for remembering that. Hell, I didn't.
It just popped into my head.
I forgot the name of my amigo.
Doesn't everybody use a Thalia?
Yeah.
No, it.
It's a great idea, though, because the pad fits the radius of the instrument.
Right.
So,
well, when I saw you at the Baked Potato, you used another Les Paul with a Bigsby on it. And then the slide guitar had the P90s, right?
Yes.
Now, Summit that you took on tour,
mm-hmm.
did it have humbuckers or was it the P90 one?
It was the humbucker model. And that was one that I keep over there. I keep that particular guitar.
That's another one. Okay.
In the warehouse, yeah. And it's a black and it's... Seymour Duncan pickups again, El Nico,
okay.
2 and a 59, and just a solid guitar, and Godin makes some great stuff.
Well, that Godin with the P90s was, I was shocked that really worked well with slide, because you would think you'd use a humbucker because it's fatter sounding, but then you used that other guitar with the Bigsby on it, that was another Summit, and that thing just sang.
That was really nice. That particular slide guitar, that was a gift. It was a prototype. Robert Godin, you know, had a prototype. And I played it, and he saw me play it, and it was just a really nice thing. He signed it on the back for me, and I love that guitar. I would love to take it on the road, and I do occasionally, but I don't take it to Europe.
Yeah.
It's a personal thing that I just love to keep when I'm playing in town.
So the only one that you brought from here was this guitar, the DAG.
And I brought the Montreal Premier as well.
Oh, okay.
So
that's from
couple.
Here. Okay.
And then I have the Summit already over there for the open tunings.
Okay, so you just have the Summit there, or do you have anything else there?
That was it.
That's just it. So you just have the one guitar.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, that
so
sounds great.
Bring a couple and just try to scale down, and off we go.
Well, I told you we'd be out of time. We're already done. And www.stevefister.com, and you can get more info on this album, Let It Slide.
How cool.
And I recommend this if you haven't. The tones on this thing, as you heard on the clips that I've been playing, you can hear it's just amazing what he's getting, the sound that he's getting. And it's to me, that's like textbook. So he's a good example of that type of tone. And thank you. Also to DAG Guitars. They've been on the show before, and they're really wonderfully made guitars. The craftsmanship, the video does not do justice to how beautiful that guitar really looks.
Incidentally, Alexander sends his regards to you.
Oh yes, yes. He's one of the luthiers, the owners of DAG Universum, and
baked potato.
So there, you can look up DAG if you Google DAG. You'll see this guitar, and this is the Grace model. And when you talk to Alexander, ask for the Steve Pfister model.
Hey now,
because you'll get those pickups and that vibrato on it. But it's a beautiful guitar. They're really well made, and all of their units are just really, 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 really great. Now, did you get the dates?
I finally figured it out. Yes.
Okay, here we go. Give me the dates.
For the trio, Sandro Feliciano on drums and Philip Bino on bass and myself, Baked Potato, May 22nd. So May 22nd, be there.
Hey now, be there. Okay. I think I am good.
And then we're doing some festivals over the summer as well. We're going to be at the Guitar Town Festival in Copper Mountain, Colorado.
Very cool.
So, yeah, we're doing that with, I think Joe Satriani's on that one and Tommy Emmanuel. And we're looking really forward to a real productive summer.
Oh, no, I'm just really happy. You guys are, the European tour seems like it was a big success. And this new album, it's just moving. It's moving along.
You know, it's. I think it's really, really important as artists that we keep, you know, composing and playing new music regardless of the format. And it's just an important thing, and I'm glad that we can still do it. I'm very grateful.
Thank you so much for coming on. And I also want to thank Felipe Oliveri for the Solo Dallas pedal. That's a great pedal. Check that out. It's been on several times. I brought it on, but usually when Steve comes down, I like to just bring it just to goose him a little bit and get a little more.
I want to stick it in my bag when you're not looking, Jeff.
So I want to thank him for that. It's a great sounding pedal. I'm going to take us out. If I'm correct, I didn't play this yet. I'm having a senior moment. Just Sign on the Dotted Line. I haven't played that
yet.
So I'm going to take us out on that. And everybody have a great weekend. We will see you next week. And get this album. I can't stress that enough. Is get that album and buy that guitar. That's it.
Thank you, Jeff. Thanks very much.
No, I really appreciate you being on, and I will. I can't wait to have you back. So you're gonna, you know, you can check out, but you can never leave.
Oh my!
There
God.
You go.
Thank you.
All right, everybody, have a good one. We'll see you next week. Here's Just Sign on the Dotted Line.
Woo, baby. You just sign on the dotted line.